Hello, everyone. Welcome to our phone call today. Today is, what is today, January 30th, as we get into different aspects of persuasion, motivation, and influence. And at times, we even talk a little bit about self-persuasion and the differences that could make. Because you can't persuade yourself, it's very difficult to persuade other people. Now, let's talk a little bit, something that kind of switch gears a little bit. We've been talking about the laws of persuasion and how to apply those and how to use those. We get a lot of questions on applying the different laws and different things we need to know about using them on the internet. And how does that change when we're sending out emails or newsletters or if you have an internet presence or even if you're on eBay. Everyone should have some type of internet presence, whether it's even Facebook or LinkedIn. Of course, I think we all realize that the internet's not going away. It is here to stay, and we need to utilize it. Things will change. There's kind of the ebb and flow of different things that are happening. But it's important to realize the different aspects of things that you can do to generate traffic, to brand yourself on the internet, to have a social presence. That's going to be important whether you are doing your social media, eBay, emails. Any or probably for most of you, all of the above. Because the great thing about the internet now is that it's so easy to develop your own website and think with different programs that you can do a lot of this on your own. So I want to talk about some things to be aware of on the internet that will help you out. The first thing is, of course, traffic. It's no good to have a website. And that's the thing now. Anybody could put up a website. But are they visiting your website? And those are the two factors. If you are promoting yourself, branding yourself, selling on the internet, you need to realize that there's two things that you can do to dramatically increase what's happening. You're getting double your traffic, talk about that, and then double your response. So if you can double your traffic, twice as many people visiting your sites, and then twice as many of those people that are visiting will actually do what you want them to do, then it makes a huge difference. So we need to talk about a few of those that will help you out. Now, some things you can do as far as free, I mean, anybody can do the PPC, which is a pay-per-click, where you can pay for words, and that's a great way as long as you're getting a return on investment there. You can do search engine optimization, obviously. But here are a few things that will help you out to get people to your website and increase your search engine rankings. And that's called link-backed, which means the more people that link to your website from other websites, your popularity goes up dramatically. And there are a variety of ways to do that. Obviously, anybody you know that can link to your website from their website, they recommend you, a preferred provider, it works very, very well. Another one, if you can really pull it off, which is a little bit harder, is that if you have a link from a .edu website, which is a university website, that really helps in your rankings. Now, if you know someone in university, you can pull that off. Might be a long shot for you, but that was very, very helpful. But here's some things other things that you can do. There are blogs. Very easy to set up through WordPress. Blogs, and you're linking back to your website. It might be part of your website. You can go to other people's blogs and comment on them and put your contact information and, make sure it's a relevant comment. There are plenty of places on the web that do e-zines, which is a magazine. And what that does is you just pick different topics, you become the expert, and you write something about a topic, and you post it, and it's searchable. But then on the end, you have your contact information and a link to your website. Increases in the link popularity. Also there, I wouldn't just put your name and your qualifications. I'd give them a reason to visit your website for a free report, an assessment, an audio, something like that that will get them into your world. And once they're to your website, you can capture their email via newsletter subscriptions. And that's another one. You need to have newsletters that you're sending out to people. Now, here's another shift that if you're doing what you're doing on the internet is YouTube. YouTube has just become the number two search engine. And I go, wow, that's a big shift, because we don't want to read it now. We're getting so lazy, we just want to watch it. And the great thing about YouTube is anybody can post a video. It doesn't have to be that professional. It builds your credibility. It links back to your website when you set it up the right way. And it's searchable, not only via Google, but also via YouTube. It's very searchable. So that's something you can do to increase traffic as you get more people to visit. And then, of course, you want to increase the number of people to visit, what you want them to do. So let me give you some other things that I've noticed, because I've monitored and I've evaluated lots of websites, some common mistakes that people make. A couple weeks ago, we talked about the law of association, and one of the association triggers is colors. And a lot of people blow it with the colors that they use. It's a subconscious trigger. Blues and darker colors tend to be more credible. Contrasting colors are important. A lot of people use too much, for example, too much red. I was looking at one the other day that was talking about cancer, blood type cancers, and it was all red, and it was just too much. Yellow, you probably already know, we talked about, is the first color that triggers in the human brain. So if that's great to grab their attention, but if the whole thing was in yellow or too much yellow, then it would be annoying. So we have to kind of balance. So color's important. Contrasting colors are important. And companies spend billions of dollars, or millions of dollars, as far as monitoring colors and what the best colors to use. For example, there was a company that was trying to testing laundry detergent. And they put their laundry detergent in a yellow box, in a blue box, and had people test it. So people got the yellow box. They said, oh, it's too harsh on my clothes. Those that are in the blue box said, no, it's kind of weak. But when they put it in the yellow and blue box, then it tended to be just right. So something to think about: the colors, the color schemes that you use, other people look at it, what are other people doing in your industry? Because certain colors mean certain things to different cultures and different industries. Red to a doctor is different than a financial planner, which is different to someone that's in martial arts, for example. So that's important. Look at the colors. You also need to make sure, if you are selling something on the internet, that you have some type of guarantee. Here's the interesting thing about a guarantee. Now, people are very skeptical and distrustful. The only time you really need a guarantee is when someone's sitting on the fence. And that guarantee has to be so powerful that they think, okay, I've got everything to gain and nothing to lose. That's important. That's a good. That's a guarantee. And you can't worry about people taking advantage of it. It'll happen. But a great guarantee will dramatically increase your sales. So what if someone takes advantage of it? So you give them a digital file. I mean, they can't really give it back. They'll always have a copy. You give the guarantee anyway. That's part of business. It's part of what we do. Very few people will take advantage of it. Now, I'm assuming here you got a great product or service here, and you're exceeding people's expectations, and this never becomes an issue. Another one is to learn to build the value. Here's one of the big mistakes when you're building the value for your product or service. Never put everything in one big package deal. It decreases the perceived value of what you're doing. When you look at good internet copy that's polling, what they do is say, hey, $97, this is what you get. You get this kit, you get this system. Then they say, just like you hear in the infomercials, but wait, there's more. And the reason you do this is now you can separate it. If you put it all together, it's only worth X dollars. But if you say, hey, you get this bonus for $50 and this bonus for $40 and this bonus for $30, you keep it separate. Rather than doing everything for $100, you get this for $100 plus you get these bonuses. It makes a huge difference. And we've seen this time and time again. It can be a report, delivery, gift wrapping, a consult, a webinar, something that has high perceived value and a low cost to you. The study, it was done at a bake sale of all places, where they spent a couple days at this fair, and they were testing out different offers. First time around, they set up a table, and they had cupcakes and cookies, and this is what they did. They had a big deal. They had one package deal. You get a cupcake and two cookies for 75 cents. Okay? Cupcake, two cookies. Pretty good deal, 75 cents. And the 40% of the people they approached that with bought. 40%. It's pretty good. But here's an interesting thing that almost doubled what they were doing. They say, okay, today cupcakes are 75 cents, but as a bonus, you get two cookies. Now, logically, we know that's the same deal, but it went from 40% to 70%. So that's a big thing. It's not one big package deal. You separate it so you can increase the perceived value. Another thing will help you with your response on your internet site is creating urgency. If they think they can come back later, they won't. If they think they can get it in a store, they might. They might at least look for it. But the thing is, they're leaving. And here's the thing about scarcity and urgency that we've talked about. It's been abused. It's overused. With furniture stores going out of business every couple of months, with sell-ins today, those type of things really annoy us. But if you don't give them a reason to make a decision, they won't. And there's some great examples out there. We see some websites that have countdown clocks. You have to make a decision in 5 minutes. Now, it used to work really well until people realized that if they hit refresh, the timer would go back up to 5 minutes. But that was very helpful. So a lot of websites are still doing that, so it is still pulling. Not that I recommend that, but that is a good example. You have, limit four, that maybe you're selecting only 10 people. And that's what, if you're only selecting 10 people, now they have to persuade you, kind of like what a bank does. Another interesting thing, banks need your business. They need to loan you money, right? But who has to persuade who? You have to persuade them. It's something to kind of think about with urgency and scarcity. One thing that really helped out Orbitz on their airline travel, they just added a simple thing. 3 seats left at this price. Wow. You can't come back later. They might not be there. They might be gone. Increases sales. So if you have a limited supply, anything you can do to increase urgency goes a long way. Now, the key thing with urgency, too, is to buffer it with some type of reward, meaning that we have a limited quantity. Let's go sales end today. So sale ends today. Well, when you purchase today, we'll double your order. So you get a little scarcity and reward. Now, scarcity has to be legitimate or believable or it will not work. So that's my formula for you. Scarcity needs to be legitimate, believable, and buffer it with some type of bonus or reward they're going to get for making that decision today. Other thing we need to talk about when you're talking about websites is remember that you have something to gain, and people are very skeptical, then they will always believe other people before they believe you. It's called social validation. This social validation is you have to borrow the credibility from other people. And you do that with testimonials. You need to get testimonials on your website, on your product, and make sure they're good. If you ask someone for a testimonial, it won't be good. Well, two problems here. It's not going to be good. And number two, you probably will never get it. So what I'm saying is make it easy for them. If they say you're going to give you a testimonial, get your camera out and record it. If they say they're going to give you a testimonial, say, you want me to write it for you? And write it for them. There's nothing wrong with that. Well, you say, hey, here, based on experiences, this is what happened. Let me know if you want to change anything. And they'll change a few words. And it will make them theirs. And that's okay. So make it as easy. Get the camera out. Record it. And you ask the questions. Say, tell me, how much money did you make in the last 2 weeks using this program? Tell me the differences in your health when you took this product. Tell me the different things. So I'm going to give you kind of a list of things that you want in a testimonial. Kind of a formula here. Ingredients you want for a testimonial. It's rare to have all six. But the more you have, the more power it has. Because if you let people, and I get when people send testimonials to me, I'm flattered. I didn't even ask for it. It's great. Thank you. But sometimes I really can't use it. I've gotten one from when I spoke at a third grade class. I've gotten from the prisons, the California prison system for some reason. Not sure why. Again, I appreciate it, but no one really likes a testimonial from California State Prison. It's just, I don't know. You could probably figure that one out. So here are the ingredients. First of all, try to get some type of income or benefit claim. Income or benefit claim. You want to know they made $22,000 in 10 weeks. You want to know that you doubled their business. You want to know you have them make them extra X amount of dollars. Next one is I am like you, meaning if they can relate to the person, the testimonial, the testimony is, I was broke. I was living on the street. I was eating dog food. I'm exaggerating. But if they're like, hey, that's me right now, and this person was in the same spot, and now they're financially independent, now all of a sudden they're like, I'm like you. There's a connection there. The third thing is get full name. Get as much information as possible. Full name, location, photo, video. The more you put there, the better. If you just say, JB, and they're like, wait a minute, JB, and where they're from, and there's no picture. Get it. Could be true. It doesn't matter. If they don't believe it, it's not going to help you out. So as much information as possible. Another thing is try to keep it short and specific. I received a testimonial the other day. It was 2 pages long. It was 2 pages long. You know, I appreciate it, but I can't use it. But I found the best part, and I brought it out, and I highlighted, and I underlined the most important ones. Next one is it believable? Is it believable? Now, we're always truthful. That's a given. We're always truthful. But the truth isn't always believable. I was working with some martial arts studios, and I helped to make an extra $1 million. And that's right in the testimonial. True, but if people don't know the circumstances, what happened, and what we worked on, that might be a little too much for another entrepreneur to grasp. And then the last one is the credibility of the testimonial, meaning of the person giving it. Are they famous? Do they know them? Do they respect them? For example, when I did my first book, I made sure I got an endorsement from Stephen Covey, Mark Victor Hansen, Chicken Soup for the Soul, Brian Tracy. Did that because I was a first-time author, and I needed to borrow the credibility from these guys who had been out there for a while, and that's testimonial. So social validation is very important. Then we need to take a look at a couple other things. They only have about 3 to 5 seconds to look at whether it be your Facebook page, or if they don't know you, or in your website. So your headline needs to be power. Because if your headline doesn't grab me, gone. So your headline and your subheadline need to be something that arouses curiosity, solves their problem, intrigues them, they want to know more, the 7 blunders of, the 7 secrets of, the 6, and you can fill in the blanks. So where they want to read more, and that pulls them into the copy. So your headline's critical. You have to capture their attention. You almost spend more time on a headline than you do actually writing the copy. And that's what you need to look at when you're writing your copy. Make sure it's conversational. Make sure it resonates. If we remember, we talked about expectations, using embedded commands and presuppositions, very important in your copy. And remember, a great persuasive presentation, when you record it and type it up, becomes a very persuasive copy. So how you speak is how you're going to write copy. That's very conversational. And you need to watch the headlines, and for as far as verbal packaging, each word you use will attract or repel, and that be very, very helpful to you. So that's the way you persuade on the internet. A lot of similarities, again, some differences. For example, I just got a question here via email as far as word and word choice. Let me talk about that. Here was a study done with words and an offer. So here was your 3 choices. Half price, buy one, get one free, 50% off. Half price, buy one, get one free, 50% off. Now, we know those are the same. But buy one, get one free outpulled the others by 40% because of the word free. Now, here's the shift when you're on the internet. Internet doesn't like the word free. Now, if they come to your website, you can use free all day long. It's very powerful. But if you put it in an email, a lot of your spam filters will tag it and won't let it through. That's why you see a lot of people saying free, and they'll put like a star in between each letter or a hash mark or a period. They're doing that because they don't want to be flagged by the spam filter. So you have to be careful with that. Some of the words that are really popular will get spammed, will get lost in spam filters if you don't watch it. Good question. All right, so those are some things that we took some good notes here for the internet based on the questions I've been receiving. Are there any more questions either on the phone or via the net? Remember, you can respond via the net at ywhypersuasion.com. That's also the spot where we'll post the replay line for this call, probably in the next 24 hours. And that's, again, whypersuasion.com. Another, okay, I got a question here about words and word choice. I call it verbal packaging. It's one of the 12 laws of persuasion. You can review that. But let me just give some words to stay away from. And maybe some words to use. For example, if. If is such a weak word, we say when. If you do it, if you take the product. No, when you take the product. Hey, try. Try is a very weak word. When your friends say, I'll try, let's try. No, will you? Try it out versus will you do it? Very different. Here's an interesting one, could versus can. Can pulls a lot better. We don't say hope, we say guarantee. So as we go through the words, we have to realize that every word triggers a different response. Do we say used car? No, it's pre-owned. Are you fired from your job? No, you're right-sized, you're downsized. Do I give my students at the University of College final? No, it's called a celebration of knowledge. Well, you know, it's more fun for me than them, but that's important. So you have to look at every word. There's so many studies I could rattle off for you on this. The one that comes to mind is they had a video of these cars crashing. And so they put three groups of people, right? And they all saw the same video, these cars colliding. And they want them to estimate how fast they were going. So the first group, they saw the video, and they were asked how fast were the cars going when they smashed into each other. Second group, how fast were they going when they hit each other. And the third group, how fast were they going when they contacted with each other. And they estimated it, and there was a 9 mile an hour difference in estimations between smashed and contacted. If I say, did you see the broken headlight, or did you see a broken headlight? When I say the broken headlight, it dramatically increases the amount of people that say yes. Do you have headaches occasionally, frequently? I mean, there's a lot of different studies that words pull very, very well. Now, the ones that we want to take out is the word but. But negates everything in front of it. Now, you can strategically use it. Yeah, this home isn't a bad neighborhood, but that would negate it. You got to be careful. You look great. You look great tonight, dear. But that could find you on the couch. So instead of using but, use and or maybe however. Power words that we know pull very well subconsciously is the words because when we hear that word, we know we're going to get a valid reason. That's not always true, but because is a great word. Facts are a great word that pull very, very well when you talk about verbal packaging. So if you want more information, you want lists of different words, in the Magnetic Persuasion series, verbal packaging is the one you want to go through to make sure you go those words. Okay, good question. Any other questions, either over the phone, via the net? Okay, let me read this one here. Kurt, you mentioned presuppositions. I missed that class. What is that? Well, we can spend a few seconds on that. That's under law of expectations. A presupposition is you're presupposing. So when you write sales copy, you're presupposing, you're assuming, you're talking like they've already done it when you're on the product, when you're doing it. If you're selling real estate, you're presupposing, well, this is where the grand piano can go, children go pick out your rooms. This is what's going to happen. You're going to love the neighborhood. You're talking like it's already a done deal. Car salesman, you're going to love how the car handles in the mountains. You know, manager, do you want to do it on Tuesday or Wednesday? Presupposes you want to do it. And in negotiation, we see it all the time. So basically, when you're talking, you're communicating, you're writing, you're talking like it's already done. You're solved their problem. They're seeing the benefits. They're excited. That's what a again, that's a brief overview, but that's what a presupposition would be. Okay, good question. Says Kirk, can you have too many testimonials? I would say no. I mean, even if you had a website with 100 testimonials on it, if they're going to read them all, go for it. But you want to put your most powerful ones on the top, your most famous ones on the top, with the most important parts highlighted or bolded. Yeah, and that's what's important to know about sales copy, too. Long sales copy still pulls. It's getting shorter and shorter, but what you do is you tend to put in bullets. Because some people, and I'd be in this class, I'm not going to read it all. I want to look at the bullets and go to the bottom and see what the bottom line is, and that's okay. You've provided everything I need to know to make a decision. Some people will want to read it all. Good for them, and you've provided it for them. So you're actually resonating with different types of personalities when you do that, okay? So that's, yeah. I guess you could overkill it if you had 10,000 and it took forever to load. But you keep collecting them, especially now when you start collecting more. What I've done is now I have certain testimonials with stockbrokers. I have certain testimonials with network marketers. I get certain testimonials with martial arts. I've got certain testimonials with people that negotiate. I've got certain testimonials of CEOs I've taught presentation skills. And so you can kind of categorize it because now you can target that type of audience that you're going after or want to speak to or want to persuade. Any other questions? Kirk, can you clarify the difference between scarcity and reward? Scarcity is your takeaway, your urgency. So, cell phones. Okay, the sale does end today, and you make a decision today. But when you do, I can double your minutes. That's your reward. There's only four left. They're going fast. If you can get one of those four today, not only will you get the limited quantity, but I will give you a free consult. Would be the reward. Come see this Broadway show today. It's this week. It's the last week. Scarcity. And we will give you a $20 voucher for the concession stand. That would be the difference there. All right, so everybody, remember, whypersuasion.com is going to be the replay. Give us 24 hours to post that. You can also ask questions during the week on that site, or if there's certain things that you want to hear, as we've been kind of going through the different laws of persuasion. With that, go out there and persuade with power, and we'll talk to you next week. Good night, everyone.